Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and United Federation of Teachers President Michael Mulgrew is our first guest today to talk about Mayor Bloomberg's controversial new choice for schools chancellor, Hearst Magazine's chairwoman, Kathleen Black. At the news conference introducing Black on Tuesday, she admitted she has no educational experience and little experience dealing with unions, but Mayor Bloomberg noted,
"The first person in the educational New York City's educational world that Kathy Black met was Michael Mulgrew. Thank you very much."
You're welcome. So let's see how that first meeting went. And remember, this is not a done deal. The state education department must approve this appointment because of her lack of experience in the field of education. So, Michael Mulgrew, thanks for coming on. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian. How are you this morning?
I'm good, thank you. The naming of Kathleen Black came as such a surprise, even to much of the mayor's inner circle. When did he first mention her to you?
Actually, her and I thought it was very funny, and I spoke with the mayor after his press conference. I was laughing. I said, "That was cute, the way you said she met me," because her and I met when I was going into a meeting with the mayor, and she was leaving, and he just introduced her as the CEO of the Hearst magazine chain. Nothing about education. We exchanged pleasantries, and she seems like a very nice woman, and that was it.
Really? So you mean all these questions I wrote about what your meeting was like, I just have to throw them out now?
Yeah, I guess so.
There was no meeting.
No, we met. We met. I mean, the mayor was correct in his statement that the first person she met in New York education was Michael Mulgrew. But it was only in passing, and it was only an introduction and pleasantries, and that was it.
Wow. So there is a movement in some places, as you well know, to have the state education commissioner, David Steiner, deny Ms. Black the waiver she needs to take the job. Are you asking Steiner to deny?
No, I'm going to let David, you know, the law itself is clear that David Steiner has a process to follow. And I would, what David has done since he's been become commissioner, I think has been exceptional under very, very difficult circumstances. He has an impeccable background and reputation in education, and what he was able to do last year on Race to the Top by bringing people together, by listening to people, shows he's clearly a man who understands what we need to do as a state to move forward in education. So I would expect him to do the same type of diligence in this process when the city applies for a waiver, because they haven't even applied for the waiver yet.
Also at her news conference, Ms. Black was very open about the learning curve ahead for her, assuming she does get the job. Listen.
"I have no illusion about this being an easy next 3 years. Quite the opposite. But what I ask for is your patience as I get up to speed on all of the issues facing K-12 education today."
What's your reaction to that statement, asking for patience?
There's a lot of issues out there, and the schools, you know, every day the teachers go into those classrooms, and they have to, you know, do the job of helping those children, and that's what we do every day. So I understand that there would be a learning curve if she is granted the waiver, and of course, if she is granted the waiver, I would work with her, because that's a responsible thing to do, and that's what we should all be doing on behalf of children. But it's not like we have a lot of time, because children are in classrooms every day, and there's no time to, say, you know, get up to speed.
Listeners, especially parents of New York City public school children and teachers or other educators within the system, do you want to give Kathy Black this chance? I saw a petition that was going around one of the PTAs in one local school that was asking all the parents to sign to, you know, have the state education commissioner deny Kathy Black this waiver. They don't like that she doesn't have any experience in education, that she herself went to Catholic schools, sent her kids to boarding school, lives on Park Avenue in Connecticut, that whole package doesn't seem to ring true, and the lack of knowledge of the issues and experience with the issues. But other people say give her a chance. Her heart seems to be in the right place. How about you? We had some of these calls. Let me ask our listeners by giving the phone number. We had some of you call in on Wednesday. Let's consider or continue the conversation now 2 days later. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, and anything that you want to ask Michael Mulgrew, President of the United Federation of Teachers, 212-433-WNYC. Michael, you wanted to say?
So on what has happened here in New York City, you know, it's we felt that the educational strategy under Chancellor Klein of making everything about education only about a standardized test has done a disservice. And there's a lot of people in the community who feel the same way because, you know, parents tell us, my child is much more than a test score. And since we focused our curriculum now all the way down into test prep, and the teachers and I have been very outspoken about this is a problem. So people have been speaking to me saying if he had more of an educational background, he would have realized this was a mistake to make everything just about standardized test scores. And that's why you have people being very, very quick and apprehensive about another chancellor without an educational background. But I haven't sat down and spoken with this woman. I have no idea what her views are on such things and what she does or doesn't know. So for me to just predetermine ahead of time without even speaking to her or have David Steiner and his team at SED do a vetting and a process would really be irresponsible on my behalf at this point.
Is a meeting, which I thought had already happened, forthcoming?
Yes, I'm sure we'll be meeting shortly.
One political analyst speculated to me off the air that you're probably quite happy with this election because Kathy Black is so naive in labor relations that you'll eat her lunch at the bargaining table compared to Joel Klein. Is there a grain of truth to that?
Well, since I haven't negotiated with her yet, and I wouldn't know. And it's through the negotiations with Chancellor Klein, he never goes to the negotiations. So,
you know, the best argument for Kathleen Black's potential for success might be Bloomberg himself, who went from being a media mogul right to mayor with no government experience at all and has definitely been up to the job. Do you think that's true?
What I think is that people have skill sets that their jobs bring, and this is a woman who has been very successful. So we can't just dismiss that. But at the same time, she has to be able to show a demonstration of some of knowledge about what it's going to mean to move education. You know, you've heard me talk about the test prep and having to get back more to a well-rounded education for all children. There's the issue of the community. You know, the communities of New York City, the parents feel that they've been shut out. So if she could come in and start talking about how she would actually go out in a meaningful, collaborative way and work with community, that would be a major benefit to help us move the schools in a much better direction and faster. And then the issue of closing schools, which has been, you know, a hot point here between us and the city, because if you know a school is headed in the wrong direction, we believe it's a responsibility of the administration to go in and do an analysis and put together a plan to move the school back in the right direction. This administration has said, no, we're going to stand back, and if it continues to get bad, we'll go in and close it. Well, I said, well, there's children in there every day, and it's your responsibility to, as administrators, to help support schools. So those are three major issues. And in speaking with Ms. Black, if these are things that, you know, she says, you know, these are things we can do much better, we haven't been doing them correctly, then I think that's something that could really work. And if she brings some skill set to the table that really helps us organize that and move it into this very, very large school system, then that would be a positive.
Robert in Kensington, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Thanks for calling.
No problem. So I'm a student teacher currently now in grad school, trained to be a teacher in global studies, adolescent education. So this was kind of like a shock to me when I heard this nomination or proposed nomination. I had two things that I was talking about with a friend of mine the other day who, oddly enough, works for a nonprofit that selects teachers for New York City schools, the New Visions Teachers Project.
Mm-hmm.
Now she's in the same scenario. She never went to school to be a teacher. However, she's selecting teachers to be teachers. So I have a problem with her doing that. Now, but she says that this is a good thing because she's very far removed from the emotional setting of picking teachers. So it's kind of like a business atmosphere where the job gets done, where she says kind of where Kathy Black is. Now, is that a good thing or a bad thing? And is she just there to kind of push back the union? Like, why is she there, you know?
So, but you could see it as, you could, from where you stand as a student teacher, and with the story that you just told, you could see this working because of her detachment from the system and all of the emotional baggage that would come from being within it for a long time, or not working because of her lack of experience. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely a dicey subject, but, you know, like the speaker was saying before, you know, we don't really have time to wait. I mean, these are students, these are kids, these are human beings. And as a nation where we're being kind of left behind in certain fields and innovations, I think we really need to focus on this education, and we don't have time to be patient and wait for somebody to catch up to speed.
Robert,
it's a very double-edged sword. And Bloomberg called the students customers. He said that we have the largest customer base in the nation.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing to you?
It's a bad thing. I mean, if we're treating kids like customers, that's a very odd analogy.
In that model, a satisfied customer would be somebody who actually gets a good education and graduates.
Yeah, which, if we look, necessarily isn't the case. But I think this it's a weird way to put education in a business model.
Robert, thank you very much for your call. We really appreciate it. What do you think about the use of customers in that sense, Michael Mulgrew?
I think it's inappropriate because children are not customers. Children are students. And the difference between someone going into a store trying to buy something versus a student going to school to learn are two different scenarios.
Well, certainly there are two different scenarios. But if we look at the dropout factories that some of the high schools are in New York City as well as around the country, and the mayor comes in and tries to treat the students as customers, where the business really needs to serve its customers. Is it splitting hairs to say it's different because it's education, when really the issue is better service to those students or customers?
It makes it seem as if education can be simply, you can take a business model and put it on education. So you could look at a student as a customer. You could look at a student as a product. That's not, you know, it's a horrendous analogy because there is so much more. Students are not, you know, they're not profit margins. They're not circulation numbers. There's so much more that goes into the nuance of education. And what the caller brought up, what was interesting is, you know, us as a country, we're trying to do something that no other country on this planet is doing, which is to educate every single child to be ready for college or career by the age of 17 or 18. No other country, when you hear all of these things comparing the United States to other countries, none of them do this. So I applaud that we are trying to do that. That will lead us into a greater place in the future. So it's really, as we're at this crossroads of education, what is going to be the right mix that allows us to fulfill that challenge which we are now taking on is really the question. And if it means a compilation of different people with different skill sets that does it, then I'm for trying it.
Greg in East Northport, you're on WNYC with the UFT president, Michael Mulgrew. Hi.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have a couple of points. One, I don't think customers is necessarily a bad thing because the word customer means customers come first. And in that sense, I think it may be appropriate. And I think you are splitting hairs. And the second point is that when she came out with a statement that, you know, give me patience, I think we're really splitting hairs there also because she came out and said, here's my ideas, I'm going to do this, and this. The competition would then be, well, what do you know? You don't know anything. So I think she did the right thing in the opening statement. And my final point is this. I think she's qualified, and here's the reason why. One, it's a fresh pair of eyes. Two, the president of Singer Sewing Machine could be the president of Wrigley's Chewing Gum because there's a skill set that comes with that, and they are so far removed from the worker on the line, I don't think it matters. She's going to have 300, 400, 500 people underneath her. She's so far removed from the student. If you trust the system and the people between her and the student, they're going to bring her up to speed very, very quickly, and they're going to have issues and demands and requests very, very quickly. So the fact that she said, I need patience, isn't going to be a reality. It's just a nice way of saying, hey, I'm ready and I'm willing to learn.
Greg, thank you for your call. Well, and that's the argument on the other side. And we went through that, Michael, with Mayor Bloomberg as an example, applying his management skills in the business world to management skills in the public sector. And, you know, that's what people are going around on one way or another. Now, another issue for the teachers union right now is that the city and news organizations want the records on teacher rankings.
They're called teacher data reports.
Teacher data reports made public, and you're resisting that. Why, in a public education system, shouldn't parents customers have a right to know about how teachers are evaluated.
Well, first of all, I want to be very clear. These are not evaluations. These are only reports.
What's the difference?
There's a big difference. These are reports based solely on standardized test scores. And what we're trying to do is develop a system that's known in education as a value-add system. And it has not, and we're doing this in an experimental pilot phase at this point. So the information itself, these reports, are not reliable or valid. We've had, you know, the experts we're working with to develop this tool have all said that this still is not anywhere close to being valid or reliable. So the teachers entered into this program, and the Department of Education and Chancellor Klein said, "We will keep this private, and we will protect your confidentiality because we understand that this is not it's not sound information. It's not even close to it." So that's where we're stuck now, because the public, they're asking for the information to become public. So it's not valid and reliable. People's names are going to be tied to these reports, and are they going to be, you know, are people going to be harmed because of information that's out there that everybody in the research world is telling you, is telling us, this is, it should not be used for this, and it's not reliable whatsoever.
It's one piece of data,
Exactly.
Which, put together with other things, parents could use to evaluate the quality of the teachers in their children's schools. So why not give them that right?
Because the teachers, look, I am the president of the teachers' union. We entered into this experimental pilot program to try to develop a tool that will help us help children. We knew that it's, you know, when you're moving this, it's a risky proposition because it is new and it is something that no one has been able to figure out yet. But we feel this is work that's important and could lead to, you know, good things for children. So that's why we've entered into this work. So the teachers are, you know, they said, we entered into this and we were told this was going to remain confidential as we developed this tool. So they're quite upset about the fact that it's going to go out there and people aren't going to understand that this is an experimental thing and it's not reliable, or the data itself, which we now found out that the teachers, the data inside of the reports is all wrong. They have the wrong students assigned to the two teachers all over the place. And so the teachers, like, we're going to be put out there for us going out on a limb to begin with. Well, so that's the argument we're having.
One more call on Kathy Black. Stuart in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Stuart.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, when I first heard about this, my reaction was, gee, this is a really talented person. You know, maybe this could work. And I have to say, after thinking about it for a day, I've changed my mind. I think it's really a mistake to have another technocrat who really has no basis in education. I've been in the classroom for, I don't know, 25 years or something like that, and on various levels, public school, private school, and now I teach in college. And it's like I know things because of my experience. And she's going to have to sit in a room and have various advisors say, oh, I think you should do this, or oh, I think you should do this. And she's going to have to choose from amongst these ideas, and she won't have the experiential knowledge to do that. And I think it really does need to be somebody who has experience in education. I don't know about all the certifications that they require and things like that. All those I would pass on. But I think she needs to have some sort of experience in education.
What about the lesson of, what about the example of Michael Bloomberg, or for that matter, the example of Joel Klein?
You know, I'm not so happy with Joel Klein. I think he has some talents in certain ways. But frankly, if you want a better class, if you want kids to do better, you need to hire really qualified teachers, and you need to pay them a little bit more money, and you need to reduce the size of the class. And that, it's not rocket science. If you have a better teacher-student ratio, if you have 20 kids in a class instead of 30, 35, even 40, the kids are going to do better because the teacher can spend the time with the kid. And when somebody is a little difficult, when somebody doesn't show up, the teacher can go chase him down on the basketball court and say, hey, what happened? I missed you in class today. But if you have 200 kids, you can't possibly follow through. Kids just fall through the cracks.
Stuart,
each one of these kids are good kids. They're people.
Thank you for your call. I appreciate it. Before you go, Michael, how about the Joel Klein legacy? On an A to F scale, how would the teachers' union grade him?
I would say that there were some, you know, the beginning of integration of technology here in the city school system was something that was very important, and he definitely started that work. Race to the Top application and the things we were able to come to on that were good. The focus on test scores themselves, we felt was a mistake. We should have been looking for a more well-rounded education, because if we would have done that, then we wouldn't have had that huge drop in the test scores when they changed it. So I'm not going to give a letter grade at this point. That's part of the chancellor's legacy. He likes to give the letter grades.
Are you going to take a position for or against Kathy Black before the state education commissioner makes up his mind?
At this point, what I'm going to do is I'm going to meet with Ms. Black.
Michael Mulgrew, president of the United Federation of Teachers. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye now.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Up next, police shootings are down in New York City, but violent crime is slightly up. We'll talk about it.